Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, Minister of South Tower Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, now at the 12th hour. Today is January 24th, 2026. That is Seabeth 7, 2029. We would continue our service on Behold, I Make All Things New. We have a continuation of track 9, and we're on page 76 of E.T. Holler, Shepherd God. And he said this is additional information from track 9, 1940. Track 9, Behold, I Make All Things New, had 112 pages and was first published in 1942. 2 years later, 1942, it was revised, having only 78 pages, which proved that some information was left out. By comparing the two tracks, it was noted that the 1940 track, number 9, included other valuable information besides the exploration of 1 Peter 3:18 and 20, as well as 1 Corinthians 15:29, which was not found in 1942 track, number 9. He preserved this valuable information for the edification of the Davidian saints. These pages, 99 to 110 of the 1940 tract, number 9, have been inserted here, which ends with the index page 110. 112. It says the first angel's message, fear Yahweh and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, to clear the appointed time of this message. We must take into consideration the revelation of John. that from the 4th chapter until the 20th, 2nd, is the continuous, without a break, that is the conjunction, and begins each chapter showing that all these revelation were given unto John at the time that the voice said unto him, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter, things that were in were to transpire sometimes after he had the vision of them. And John, having had this vision about 96 AD, the first angel's message, therefore, could not possibly have been preached before that time. For, to repeat, he is not writing of the things of the past, but of the things of the future. Again, the fact that he said, I saw another the first angel having the everlasting gospel to preach further shows that this angel's message had not been preached before he had the vision, but that it was to be preached in the future from that time. Moreover, there is neither scripture nor history to show that the judgment began in or before John's time. Still further, as the first angel's message was never preached before 1844, then when the judgment hour came, this angel's message, a message concerning the judgment, went forth. As the investigative judgment is in the two sections, as that should read, for the investigative judgment is in the two sections, the first devoted to the dead, the second to the living. The fact is evidence that though the first, the second, and the third angel messages apply directly to the period of the judgment of the living, they must also, though indirectly, apply to the period of the judgment of the dead. Thus, only except as a warning of the coming event.
Let's read that a third time. Only except as a warning of the coming events, for they have been preached since 1844. Hence, when the judgment of the living commences, and when the image of the beast is fully made up, then these messages are with a loud cry to be repeated as present truth concerning the living instead of the dead. For the foregone facts concerning the eternal throne, the provisional throne, and the judgment prove correct, and the book that was used in the proclaiming of the first, second, and third angel's message in their first application, for in it we read, I saw the Father rise from the throne, and in a flaming chariot go into the Holy of Holies within the veil and sit down. Then the Yahshua goes up from the throne, and the most of those who were bowed down arose with him. And I did not see one ray of light pass from Yahshua unto the churlish multitude after he arose, and they were left in the perfect darkness. Those who arose when Yahshua did kept their eyes fixed on him as he left the throne. Led them out a little way. Then he raised his right arm, and we heard his lovely voice say, "Wait here, I'm going to my father to receive the kingdom. Keep your garments spotless, and in a little while I will return from the wedding and receive you unto myself." Then a crowded chariot with the wheels like the flaming fire, surrounded by the angels, came to where Yahshua was. He stepped into the chariot and was born to the holy, where the Father said, "There I beheld Yahshua as a great high priest standing before the Father." Early writing 55. Did Yahshua preach the dead? Again, did the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, preach unto the dead? 1 Peter 3:18-20. In the same scripture giving rise to this question is also the answer. For the Yahshua also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto the Father Yahweh, being put to death in the flesh, that quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when months the long suffering of the Father Yahweh waited in the days of the Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by the water. 1 Peter 3:18-20. For the scripture does not say that Yahshua in person, while his body lay in the tomb, preached unto the spirits in prison, as is understood by some. Instead, it says that he, through the medium of the Spirit by whom he was resurrected, preached unto them in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing. Nor does it say that Yahshua preached unto the dead, but rather unto the spirits in prison. Hence the concern as to whether the spirits in prison mean the dead or the living is a matter of interpretation, and such an interpretation must come of the divine authority. Nowhere do we find in the Bible, where it is referring unto the dead, that it calls them spirits, but it does thus designate the living. Moreover, the word plainly says that the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward for the memory of them is forgotten, also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Ecclesiastes 9:5-6. Still further, that sure makes it exceedingly plain in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus that after this there is no chance at all for one's salvation, no, not even for a drop of cold water. For the rich man's plea and death was denied him, and he was told, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good thing, and likewise Lazarus evil thing. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented, and behold, and besides all this between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence unto you cannot, neither can they pass unto us that would come from thence." Luke 16:25-26. Well, this parable teaches that the only way any of us can be saved from hell's torment is to hear Moses and the prophets while we are yet alive, and that if we hear them not, then the Yeshua cannot help us after death. It also teaches that if we are not persuaded by them, neither will we be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Luke 16:29-31. Hence, as there is no chance for salvation after death, then if any while living had failed to hear Moses and the prophets, why should Yeshua preach unto them after they die? Yahweh is not Yeshua is not the Yeshua of the dead, but of the living. Matthew 22:32. Consequently, the spirits in prison cannot be any others than the antediluvians unto whom Yahshua by the Spirit which raised him preached through Noah before the flood, while the inhabitants of that world were imprisoned by the circumstances of the coming flood, from the certain consequences of which they could not escape. For the statement wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by the water proves further that it was by the Spirit of the Yahshua and Noah's preaching that Yahshua before the flood visited the spirits in prison and saved eight souls, Noah and his family. Thus the Spirit of the Yahshua, which was in the prophets also, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of the Asura and the glory that should follow, 1 Peter 1:10, 11. But someone asked if it is true that Yahshua did not preach unto the dead. Then what about those dead who were left without a chance? For the law of this cannot be reversed by anyone's ignorance of the Yahweh. However, says the Yahshua unto his prophet, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speaketh to or warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked a man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Ezekiel 3:18. And this scripture clearly teaches that those who have died in their sins cannot be rescued by being preached to after death, even though the watchman neglects, they have been left without a chance. Than those who have died in the ignorance through their own neglect instead of the watchman, as was the case with the living world, would be even less excusable and would have neither need nor a right to be preached to after death. Even though it were possible, those who have never had a chance to hear the prophets, to them the heavens declare that the glory of Yahweh and the firmest show his handiwork. Day unto day every speech and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Psalms 19:1-3. All are to be judged according unto the light Yahweh has revealed unto them. And those who have had a chance that have failed to learn of Yahweh will not be condemned for being in error, but for failing to get acquainted with the truth. This being so, then why are some baptized for the dead? 1 Corinthians 15:29. For the Paul speaking of the resurrection makes plain unto the Corinthians that if there is no resurrection of the dead, then neither is there salvation in the Yahshua. If Yahshua be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith in the plan of salvation through his blood is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of the Father's Yahweh, because we have testified of the Father that he raised up his Son Yahshua, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Yahshua raised. If Yahshua be not raised, your faith in his blood is vain. Ye are yet in your sin. Then they also which are fallen asleep in the Yahshua are perished. Even if in this life only we have hope in the Yahshua, we are, of all men, most miserable. But now is Yahshua risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man the same death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, but even so in Yahshua shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Yahshua the first fruits, after which they that are Yahshua at his coming. In other words, Yahshua the first fruits, afterwards they also that belong to the Yahshua by his blood at his coming. What shall they do which are baptized with the dead if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized with the dead? 1 Corinthians 15:14-29. It cannot rightly be understood from this scripture that the living are must be baptized for the dead. For Paul does not question the effect that the baptism would have on those who are dead, but rather the effect that it would have on those who are alive for the earth. What shall they, the living, do which are baptized for the dead? Not what shall the dead do for whom we, the living, have been baptized. In other words, his contention is that for their own benefit they themselves were baptized for the dead, not for the living, not baptized with the thought of living on forever, but rather with the thought of dying and the hope of being raised on the resurrection day. Hence, they were baptized for the dead to pass through the grave, the state of death, not for the living, as will be those who are baptized about the time of Yahshua's coming, and who will make up that immortal company of saints who being alive and remaining when he appears with the angel shall say, Paul, be called up together with them in the cloud to meet the Yahshua in the air, to meet the Yahweh, the Father in the air, obviously, verse 6:4-7. Therefore, those who shall be found living when Yahshua appears, having been baptized before his appearance, are baptized for the living instead of for the dead, because they shall never die. The thought invoked or evoked in the mind of the Spirit who was in Paul, the question, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead if the dead rise not at all? And finally, if the early Christians were to baptize themselves for others who had died without baptism, such a commandment would have been given in the scripture, and such baptismal services would have been recorded. But the Bible commands baptisms only for the living, to whom it said, repent and be baptized, and then let your faith be practical, not theoretical only. A religion that leaves the dead without the resurrection and the living without the translation is as useless to the soul for the hereafter as is the theory of the doctrines of Yahshua when divorced from the practice. There are many who, though they zealously study this doctrine, never allow them to correct their sinful lives. Again, there are others who, for the fear that they may have to depart from their evil practices, will not study the doctrine. Though these pages clear away the error from the doctrine, which are fundamental for the Christian faith in the blood of the everlasting Son of Yahshua, the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20, and which unify the scriptures by the dispelling the confusion that the human theories and speculations have brought in, nevertheless, only a theory of the doctrines without a practical application of the lesson in the daily living until they become a part of the one makes them a dead letter without the Spirit, as is the Bible when in one's possession. It is left on the shelf only to get a dust, never to be studied. Therefore, the theoretical discourses are essential that all may know the form of the doctrine and see the chain of the truth, link after link, uniting in a perfect whole. But the discourse should ever be delivered without presenting Yahshua and Him crucified as the foundation of the gospel, making a practical application of the truth set forth an impression upon the people, the fact that the doctrine of Yahshua is not yea and nay, but yea and amen in the Yahshua's Messiah. Testimony, Volume 4, 3:94-5. Satan offers to man the kingdoms of the world if they will yield to him the supremacy. Many do this and sacrifice heaven. It is better to die than to sin, better to want than to be proud, better to hunger than to lie. Let all who are tempted meet Satan with these words. Blessed is everyone that feareth Yahshua, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt meet the labor of thine hand. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Here is a condition and a promise which will be unmistakably realized. Happiness and prosperity will he
will be the result of serving the Yahshua. Testimonies, Volume 4, page 495. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Yahshua, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from the dead works and of the faith toward the Father, Hebrews 6:1. All Scripture is given by inspiration of Yahweh and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, and righteousness, that the man of Yahweh may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Second Timothy 3:16-17. Our only aim in the answering of the question which this booklet contains is to help its readers to find the truth that will make free all who desire to know that which Yahweh has seen fit to reveal unto his people at this time, and who are anxious to obey the truth and to follow him who through his death and resurrection has made it possible for all who wish to be delivered from sin, pain, sorrow, and death to enter into the everlasting life filled with the joy. Our church, that's the end of our study for this track now. Behold, I make all things new.